There is a donkey for you to ride on, my friend. The following program is brought to you by the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry, and I'm Pastor Schulze. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for thy divine anointing on this declaration of thy sacred word in the name of Jesus. Amen. We shall go to the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, where we see Jesus riding into Jerusalem to be killed, to be resurrected, and to send the Holy Spirit on his church. The story reads like this, quote, "And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples. He says unto them, Go your way into the village against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him, and bring him. And if any man say unto you, Why do you this? Say ye that the Lord has need of him. And straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way, and found the colt tied by the door without, in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, What do ye loosening the colt? And they said unto them, Even as Jesus had commanded. And they let them go, and they brought the colt to Jesus, and he sat upon him." Unquote. Jesus entered Jerusalem about 4 or 5 days before his crucifixion, and the villages here of Bethany and Bethphage were about 2 miles from Jerusalem. Now first, let us notice the tremendous courage Jesus had to publicly, to openly enter the city of his opposition. Jerusalem was his Armageddon, his place of accusation, a place of lies, a place of mockery for him, a place of scourging and of beating and of his death. Him going to Jerusalem was meeting with church leaders who had a spirit of murder. Jesus could have quietly incognito slipped into Jerusalem, but no, he came in a most public way, riding on a donkey. So let me ask you, how do you handle opposition? Do you draw back from it, or do you compromise with the opposition, or do you go up against this opposition, whether it comes from the flesh within or the devil without? Are you facing it? Are you taking the proper stand for Jesus, even if it will crucify your reputation? Do you stand up at work when your fellow workers tell dirty jokes? Do you, as a student in high school or college, face the opposition that tramples down the good name of Jesus? Are you afraid to be crucified? If you want to be a follower of Jesus, you need Jesus' opposition mentality, not that of a coward, but that of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If you want to be a follower of our Lord, you must cease to be afraid of the cross, because if you're afraid of the cross, you will not have a resurrection unto glory. Oh, how this courageous entry of our Lord into Jerusalem inspired his disciples, how it got into their very bloodstream, and especially so much the more for the next 300 years, when the church experienced 10 great persecutions, when Christians had to face tigers and alligators and being burned at the stake in the Roman Colosseum. How Jesus courageously entered into Jerusalem inspired Martin Luther, who had the church leaders against him in the period of the Great Reformation. So Jesus sent two of his disciples into a village to find a donkey, so that he could ride into Jerusalem as it was prophesied. Yes, Jesus stayed in the divine will of God because he kept reading the scriptures. He kept meditating on what he read. Some of you read a lot of scriptures, but you don't meditate on what you read enough, so that what you need never gets into your heart. It gets into your head, but not into your heart. Scripture reading without meditation can be a dangerous thing. The Pharisees read a lot of scriptures, but they did not meditate on the scriptures. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 1 that we must meditate on His Word day and night, and that is continuously. You can't understand Scriptures with your head alone. You have to get the Scriptures into your heart to change you and touch you and to work with you. Jesus read the Scriptures, and we read in the Arca volume, an extra-biblical record of Jesus, that Jesus from childhood unto His ministry spent hours and hours throughout the week meditating on the Word of the Lord. So Jesus was familiar with Zechariah chapter 9. In that prophecy, it gives us these words. This was written 700 years before Jesus came to earth. Quote, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, he is just in having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." Unquote. As the Scriptures told Jesus how He was to enter into Jerusalem, the Scriptures, my friend, will tell you how to live. How to live with your wife and your husband and your children and your friends and your enemies alike. Oh, I want you to read the Scriptures and meditate upon them daily. If you have not made any progress in your Christian life, although you've read the Scriptures for years and years, perhaps the reason is that for the lack of progress, you have not meditated on them to let them transform you. So Jesus sent two of His disciples. It says here, "Go your way into the village over against you. As soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him." Now, why did Jesus want to ride a donkey that had never been set on into a yelling crowd? Because He knew the Scriptures, and He wanted to fulfill the Scriptures. So have courage. Face the opposition. Don't move from it. Face the cross. Don't run from it. Face the difficulty. Face the humiliation. Face the suffering, the mockery, the misunderstanding. Be willing to become a sacrificial lamb, my friend, and through your suffering, you will have fellowship with Jesus, and you, like Jesus, will experience a resurrection unto new life. Trust Jesus. There are times when God will tell you to do things that are scary, outright scary. If you don't have faith, witnessing is scary. If you don't have faith, finding God's will for your life can be scary. If you don't have faith, giving away your last dollar can be scary. If you don't have faith, for some of you, getting married can be scary. Riding a colt on which no man ever sat can be a scary thing if you don't have faith. At least you'd like to have a few practice runs behind a barn before you go public on such an animal. But Jesus was not scared. Jesus was bold. Jesus had faith. Jesus knew that when He would get on that colt no man ever sat on, that He was going to sit on God's perfect will. He was going to sit on the promises of God from the prophet Zechariah. And He knew because of that, that that little animal would also be under God's perfect control. And it would not buck. "Oh, get me a colt on which never man sat," He said. In this particular case, of course, it is also very likely that this donkey recognized Jesus for who He was. He might have said within himself, "I would not let anybody sit on me, but this is my master. He created me. He belongs to me, and I belong to Him. I'd be delighted for Him to sit on me." Now, in our case, over and over, if you walk with God, He'll ask you to do things you know in your head you cannot succeed in. You know that they will make you look like a fool. You know that they will unsettle your mind. But remember, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. That means in the spiritual, you are supernatural. When God tells you to ride a donkey no man ever sat on, you can. Because He is going on that donkey with you. It will be safe no matter how much noise there might be all about you. Jesus could face the opposition fearlessly because He was in God's will. God was with Him all the way to the cross. So, my friend, have courage, have faith, face the opposition. Now let's look at verse 3. It says, "If any man say unto you, why do you this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. Listen, Jesus went on the waters in a borrowed boat. He ate the Passover in a borrowed chamber. He was buried in a borrowed sepulchre at a borrowed graveside. And he was riding into Jerusalem on a borrowed donkey. And what? He borrowed, he always returned. Scholars say that when these two disciples asked for the donkey, the owner understood that the donkey would soon be returned. Now let's go to verse 4. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two beasts met, and they loose him. Do you think these two disciples on the way to the village had something to talk about? Perhaps if they were like most of us, the discussion was, but what if these magic words, the Lord has need of it, will not work? What's our backup plan to get the donkey? One of them might have said, I have $5. The other, I have $10. So we have $15. We can rent the donkey. If Jesus' magic words don't work, we can rent this animal for half a day. So if this does not work, then perhaps we can just bargain with the owner. What if? What are we going to do if the donkey will buck us? And if he will just put on the brakes? Oh, are you a what-if-er? Always trying to cover all possible mishaps. My friend, if you are a what-if-er, then most probably that's where you will end up. If you are a what-if-er, my friend, then your faith is corrupted, it is polluted, it will get you nowhere but into the what-if situations. How can you ever move mountains until you drop your what-if? Someone said, faith risks, faith reckons, faith rewards. So they found a donkey tied up at an intersection and they lose him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. They did not first try to find the owner and ask for permission. That's the logical, the ethical, the civil way to do things. You and I have been accused a few times of our lack of civility, of niceness, of ethics. But I'll tell you, friends, there's something bigger and better than civility and ethics and common courtesy, and that is to do the will of God. What did Jesus tell these two to do? He told them, when you get there, loosen him and bring him hither. He said nothing about talking to the owner or warming up a conversation with him before they would make the request. He said, loosen him and bring him. And my friend, glory to God, whatever their what-ifs may have been on the way to the donkey, they were all gone by the time they got there. Because the Bible says when they got to the place, the people standing about the donkey said, what are you doing loosening the donkey? And he said unto them, even as Jesus commanded. Hallelujah. There's a good old gospel song that I like very much. It says, it's best for him to have his way with you. I just can see two disciples shouting, praising God, and laughing all the way back to where Jesus was as the colt happily went with them. Friend, I like this. When there were questions by the men standing around the colt, why are you losing the colt? It says, they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded. They did exactly what Jesus commanded. Now notice the word commanded. Jesus did not ask them, but he commanded them. You say, I don't like to be commanded by anybody. Nobody has the right to command me. Is that your attitude, my friend? Forget about discipleship. Forget about fellowship with Jesus. Forget about him. Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. The stars in heaven obey him. The fish and the sea obey him. We are created in his image, and we need to obey him as he commands us in his holy word. So if you're right in your heart, his commandment is your delight. It is your salvation, your protection, your blessing, and your fellowship. So, to sum it all up, my friend, there's a donkey for you to ride. A donkey for you to ride to the cross, to your cross, and to your resurrection. Get on it, get with it, and God will bless you. Thank you for listening. I'm Pastor Schulze. Goodbye now, until then.